I was going to be a referee. All five of us Chup boys were in wrestling, and so I've seen a lot of wrestling. I've done a lot of wrestling, and I got the rule book, and I studied the rule book, and I was going to be a ref. But then, you know, after a while, I know a young lady who went to college to be a nurse, and she got a job at a hospital, and not long after she started, she said, and she started another career. There's a guy who studied to be a pastor. He moved out of state with his wife to study to be a pastor. And then, in the late years of his life, turned his back on God completely and denied God's existence. I know a youth pastor. I thought I knew a youth pastor. Man, he was like, man, worked so passionate, so just a dead run for Jesus, or so I thought. And it turned out he had a pornography addiction, and he left the ministry and now says he's an atheist. And it's like, you hear a common theme in that people start out in a direction with passion and then eventually end up Have you experienced that? Have you had passionate pursuits in your life where you said, this is what I'm going to do with my life, and maybe some things happen and you end up being Maybe it was a career, maybe it was a ministry, maybe it was something you planned to do as a family, and you started out on that journey and you made some progress, you had some dreams, and then See, there's a dilemma. And Lily Tomlin, she's not a follower of Jesus, but I think she hit the nail on the head. Notice what she said. It's about idealism and thinking you're going to change the world, and as time passes, how the world erodes your determination. I worry that once you've tried to change the world, you start to realize it's easier to change your mind. Have you felt that in your life? How do we change that? How do we fight that tendency to give up what we thought we believed in? We're going to take a look at a guy this morning, and we're going to look at his life to find out how we can have staying power. Let's find out. Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Zephaniah the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land." Pause right there. Moses sent out 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, "We can't do it." 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, "Yes, we can." So that's the background. "For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 4 to 5 years. Did I read that wrong? All these how many years? 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. For you will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak. Who are they? They're giants living there in great walled towns. Walled towns are hard to conquer. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Zephaniah, and gave him Hebron to him as his portion of the land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Zephaniah, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero and descendant of Anak. And the land had rest from war. See, we need to be like Caleb. And to do that, we need to develop wholehearted passion for God. Develop wholehearted passion for God. It said, talking about Caleb, wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God 3 times in that passage. So what do we need to do? We need to passionately pursue God. Daily time in prayer and listening to God. And there are a number of you that are probably saying, yeah, I know that. I know that. But the question is, are we doing that on a daily basis? There are some things that keep us from doing that. First and foremost is this thing called fatigue and time pressure. It sounds like this. I'm so tired, I could use more sleep. I've only got 5 minutes. Or, you know, whenever I sit down to read my Bible, I go like 2 or 3 minutes and then I'm sound asleep. I fall asleep as soon as I start to do that. And the way we fix that is the order in which we do things. It is the wisdom of the pickle jar. Have you heard about the wisdom of the pickle jar? Here's how that works. See, here's a pickle jar. And see, a third of it is that sand at the bottom. And then there's some small stones for the other third. And then you got big rocks. And they don't all fill in that jar, do they? That's too bad. What's wrong with that? Can they all fit in the jar? Yes, they can. Here's how you do that. Next, you put the big stuff in first, and then the smaller things, and then the sand. And if you do that right, there's even room for a cup of coffee. Because that's important too, for some of us. You do the big things first. You do the hard things first. You start out your day. Does that mean I need to do it in the morning? It depends when your day starts. I know some people, their day doesn't start till noon. So if you say, I do it at noon, that's okay. There's some people in the Eastern cultures, the day starts in the evening. So you can say, I do it in the evening, that's the best part. Okay. You do it at the most important part of your day, when your day begins. You do the big things first. That's how you fight fatigue and time pressure. There's another reason we struggle with passionately, persistently pursuing God is distractions, also known as oh, look, a squirrel. We get so easily distracted when we're trying to read our Bibles and pray. We get distracted. So what do? The tendency is to fight those distractions. But embrace your distractions. You're praying and you're talking to God, and all of a sudden you're thinking about the lawnmower and that issue you've been having with the lawnmower. And instead of going, oh, that's crazy, stop thinking about that, go, just incorporate that into your prayer. And it's like, God, why is that such a big issue to me? What's going on that's a big issue? And talk to the Lord about the distractions that pop up, because they're popping up, why? For a reason. And just learn to take all that stuff to God. You know, there's distractions, and then there's this one, drift. Have you ever heard somebody, how'd you become a follower of Jesus? Well, you know, one day I just kind of drifted eventually, and I just drifted to God. Have you ever heard anybody say that? No, nobody drifts to God. We drift away. So my question for you this morning is, right now, how passionately are you pursuing God? Compare that to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. If you go, man, you know, 20 years ago, I was red hot. Today, I'm warm. You're drifting. And you won't ever drift back to God. What you do is you make a commitment. Today, I'm going to commit to following God with everything I have. And that's the way you get back. That's the kind of pursuit and passion that Caleb had. It goes on. Caleb said, "Now as you see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness." Keep leaning on God's promises. Keep leaning on God's promises. In periods of waiting, in periods of confusion, we have to stand on God's promises. There is nothing else. Only that which cannot be shaken will remain. And that's God's word, and those of you who lean on God's word. And so renew your hope on God's promises. Here's a few of them that you can lean on. Hebrews 13:5, for God has said, "I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." Now, I need to let you know, that is a poor translation. You know why? There are 5 negatives in the original language, but that doesn't translate well. I will never, never fail you. I will not never abandon you, is literally what it says. God's making a point, and sometimes his point doesn't translate grammatically into English. But that he's saying, I will never leave you. Are there times when it feels like God's a million miles away? Yes, there are times when it feels like that. That's why God gave us that promise, so we can lean on that. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Not everything is good, but God can take the bad and the evil and turn and use that for good. He can turn that around. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever what? Nothing you do for the Lord is ever what? Useless. Nothing you do. It feels useless, doesn't it? There are some days it feels useless. It's not useless. God's going to use it. That's going to be one of the great things in heaven. We get up there and we go, and this important thing you did, and you completely forgot. A what? You served this person in this way, and you did that, and you completely forget about it. But it made such a huge difference in all of eternity. You have no idea. Nothing you do is ever useless. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There will be times when life doesn't make sense. Times when you question if God is going to come through for you. Times that everything looks impossible. And that's when you need to stand on God's promises. In fact, there are times when you need to jump up and down on God's promises, and they're strong enough to hold you. They can handle it. It says in this passage, the Lord has kept me alive and well. What do we learn from that? Be grateful. Caleb did not say, I'm tough and I made it. No, he said, God did this for me. He had gratitude for what God had done in his life. Caleb wasn't bitter. He was delayed in receiving his inheritance for 45 years. Because of his sin? No, because of other people's sin. Are you kidding me? He was grateful for what God was doing in his life for 45 years. Caleb didn't say, I've had to put up with these stupid, faithless hypocrites for 45 years. Now give me my stinking land. Now. I mean, we could all understand somebody having that kind of attitude after 45 years, but Caleb didn't have that kind of attitude. He was grateful. He was grateful, and he wasn't bitter. Where does bitterness come from? It comes from compressed frustration, from internalized disappointment, and from murdered expectations. Those sit on our souls, and it ferments into this acid that poisons relationships and destroys families and causes a myriad of health issues in our lives. And you can eliminate all of that by genuinely expressing gratitude to God every day. Notice what Caleb said in this passage. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. This is how he started at age 40. And then, 45 years later, listen to the tone. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living in those great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. Build your faith in God. You say, well, you know, I've had faith for a long time. Are you building your faith every day? We need to grow in faith, grow in the faith and the knowledge on a daily basis. You can't have 85-year-old giant-smashing faith all at once. It happens as you build it day by day. Let me challenge you with something. Add this to your prayer in the morning. If you've got a list of things you pray for, add this to it. God, what can I do today that will require faith? Ask that of God, and then wait and listen for him to respond. God, what can I do today that will require faith? And then step into faith territory, and then see what God does in your life. You'll be surprised what happens. A couple years ago, I said that, and God said, renew your passport. Isn't that strange? God said, renew your passport. And so my passport had expired, and so I renewed my passport. And I don't know what it was, 2-3 weeks after that, I got a message from a friend in the Middle East inviting myself and others to go to the Middle East to serve. My passport was already in process. God was getting me ready in advance for what he knew was coming. Ask God, see what he's going to do. It'll be fun. Maybe a little scary, but it'll be fun. Build your faith. Build your faith. And then it goes on, your grant of land and that of who? Your descendants forever. Live with the next generation in mind. I love the first sentence of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. This is a book, you can find your purpose. You can find your purpose, and it sold millions and millions of copies. How does he start off that book? The most important sentence in that book, it's not about you. That's the first sentence of the book. It's not about you. You need to find your purpose. Why? Because you are here for other people. That's why you're here. Caleb lived with the next generation in mind. Caleb blazed the trail for the next generation. We need to live with the next generation in mind. The church is the only organization that lives, that works for the benefit of those who are not a part of it. Why are we here? Are we here so we can be comfortable in our building and we can have fun together? It's just about us. No. What's our purpose statement? Got a bulletin there. Pull it out. What does it say on the bulletin? The Warsaw Missionary Church exists to renovate our community with the love of Jesus. We're here for the community. We exist for others. That's why we're here. We need to live with the next generation in mind. One of the greatest joys of my life is when a camp counselor will come up to me and say, hey, thank you for being a camp director those years and what you taught me, and it's changed my life, and what I'm doing today is because of what you did back then. And every now and then, every couple of years, I run into somebody and they tell me that. I want you to have that kind of joy. I want you to have that kind of difference in somebody else's life. Live with the next generation in mind. Most of you probably know the name Jeff Foxworthy. And you can relax. I'm not going to try and do any of his material. It's okay. I'll save that for later. But Jeff Foxworthy was telling a story about his early years as a comedian. And by the way, he's also a follower of Jesus. And he was talking about his early years. It's kind of funny when you think about it. You know what he used to do for a living before comedy? He worked for IBM. I mean, that's exactly what you think of when you think of Jeff Foxworthy. Well, he had to work at IBM. He did. And he made $30,000 a year at IBM the year before he quit. And he started in comedy, and in his first year, he made $8,000. And he performed 400 times. That's not real good. And he said one of those times, they lived north of Atlanta, and there was a Holiday Inn in Sarasota, Florida, that he was going to. And he drove 9 hours. His wife had him, here's $30 a week for gas. Here's your money for gas. And he drove all the way to Sarasota, Florida, and the manager of the Holiday Inn said, we closed our comedy club last night. So he didn't get paid. And so he drove back to Atlanta. He made it to the south side of Atlanta. And he was almost out of gas. And he pulled into a gas station. He said, now what do I do? He said, I didn't even have a quarter to call my wife. And I waited there. And finally, he said, a guy came in that he recognized from high school. And he went to the guy and he said, hey, I left my wallet at home. Can you give me a few bucks for gas? And the guy gave him a few bucks for gas. And he made it home. Now, most people, when they go through that, what would they do? The next day, they'd be on the phone, hey, IBM, can I have my job back? Right? But that's not what Jeff did. And that's not what Caleb did. And there'll be times that will test your faith. Keep going. Keep going. Can I tell you the highlight of my week this week? Sandy and I had an opportunity to help honor a great man. This is Byron and Sue Paulus. Byron has been in ministry for 50 years. That means he started in 1975. Some of you will remember 4 years ago, we had a team from Life Action that came, and they did services here for 4 days, brought their worship team and their children's team and everybody. It was a great time. That organization has been doing that for years. Byron led that organization for a number of years, gave birth to a new organization called One Cry. It's a prayer ministry that brings revival around the world. And so he's working on that. And everybody got together to say thank you for the difference. And you just hear story after story after story of how God used his life for 50 years. I was thinking about that. I was sitting there. This is just like Caleb. It's what Caleb did. It's what we need to do. We need to make a difference like that. One Caleb made a huge difference for the whole country of Israel. What could we do? If we had, I don't know, we got 50 Calebs here this morning. What could we do to this community with 50 Calebs? What kind of difference could we make in this community with 50 people that pursue Jesus the way Caleb did, that follows God every single day and never gives up? What could we do? So this morning, I want you to make a commitment, and you to say, I'm 100% wholeheartedly committing to following Jesus, whatever that means, this morning. I commit 100% to follow Jesus this morning. If that's you, I want you to stand up. 100%. Okay. Let me pray for you. Father, these are Calebs. These are Calebs. Both men and women that are committed to making a difference where they are. Father, work in and through their life. There are giants in their life that they need to slay. There are giants in their lives that need to be taken down. There are walled cities in their life. Strongholds that need to be taken down. Places where victory needs to happen. And Father, you're going to use them to do that through this community and then around the world. Do that this morning. Work through them to make a difference that will last forever, that will blaze a trail for the next generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.